Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the 12th Sunday after Pentecost comes from our gospel reading of Luke chapter 14. Jesus said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." In the name of Jesus. Amen. At a Pharisee's house, a very influential and important Pharisee's house, Jesus continues to astound the religious leaders and anyone who's enamored with the law to justify themselves, to make themselves greater than the one next to them, greater than their neighbor. This has become Jesus' modus operandi. That's fancy talk. It's his MO. That's the way he does things now. This is just what he does. He confounds all those who look to the law for righteousness. Because he turns the law, specifically the Sabbath for today, on its head and shows its true purpose. There's a man with dropsy. His hands, his feet, arms and legs, they're filled with fluid that his body can't get rid of. And to be sure, this is painful, but it's probably a symptom of a greater issue that probably has to do with something inside that he just can't deal with. In short, this man is pretty sick, and there's nothing he can do about it. Jesus, he notices this man. He certainly has compassion on him, but there's a problem. Today's the Sabbath. No work can be done on the Sabbath. So what is Jesus to do? The question that he puts to those at the banquet is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? And this really does get to the root of the problem. What is the purpose of the Sabbath? Why did God create the Sabbath? There's an entire commandment focused on this very question. Remember? It's the third one. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. So I pose to you this morning this question. Is the Sabbath made for you, or are you made for the Sabbath? Jesus, he's surrounded by Pharisees, by church workers, by pastors. You know, the good people. They're all here at this banquet feast of the highest ranking Pharisee in town. He's the best of the best. Wherever Jesus looks, he sees people who keep the law, keep it to a T, or so they think. And they're sure that they've dotted all of the I's. In fact, they've gone so far as to build hedges around certain sins just to make sure that they don't break the commandments. They're the good people. They're the upright people of society. That's why they're there at that banquet. They deserve to be there. And this high-ranking Pharisee, he never would have invited a tax collector or a prostitute to his house in order to dine with them. That would have been utter madness. It's guilt by association, at the very least. But more likely than not, he would have seen these sorts of people as unworthy to enter his house, not good enough. To dine with someone meant that you're that person's equal. To break bread with someone means that they're as good as you at keeping the law. And I know this might sound a little oversimplified, perhaps even just a little bit cynical, but we all do this. And if you need proof, just answer me this. When was the last time you invited a prostitute over for supper? We don't allow sinners, really bad, obvious sinners, into our house. We just don't. We don't associate with drug dealers or users, robbers, thieves, pimps, prostitutes. Partly because we don't want their bad behavior to rub off on us or our children, but more likely the real reason is, the one that's probably buried real deep down inside, so that only our subconscious can recognize it, if that, is that we don't think that they're worthy enough that they're good enough, proper and distinguished enough to associate with us, what would people think? Imagine the rumors that would swell. And all of this is because we can't seem to get past our own sense of moral superiority. Now Jesus, he might be getting at social awareness here and how we should treat our neighbors with more love and respect. Perhaps this is exactly what Jesus is trying to show in our text for today. This and nothing else. But I would venture to say that it's a little more than just that. Jesus isn't concerned about social awareness, at least not for the sake of social awareness itself. Instead, he's concerned about our messed up belief that we are, in and of ourselves, good people and better than all of those other poor slobs out there. Jesus tells the Pharisees to invite the poor and the downtrodden to dinner. The crippled and lame and blind, not their relatives, not their friends, not their rich neighbors. But he doesn't do this because he thinks it isn't fair that the poor people never get fancy banquets. In fact, the parties that they go to are probably a lot more fun. Instead, he wants the Pharisees to see that they are no better than the poor slobs that they wouldn't be caught dead with, and would never invite them into their house. So let's think about today. We aren't gathered here today because we're good people. And if you think differently, then perhaps you should take a real long look at yourself in the mirror of the law. There isn't a single one of us here that deserves to be here, that deserves to hear the word of God proclaimed, or who deserves to dine at this table that's prepared for us. But do we recognize this, or are we just a bunch of self-righteous Pharisees? How easily can we look with smugness at the stranger in our midst, or the parishioner that we don't really get along with, and think, well, they shouldn't be here. They make me a little uncomfortable. They don't believe the right thing or say the right thing or do the right thing. They should, in fact, clean themselves up first, get on that right track, and then they can come and be here with me. That's the way of our sinful flesh. We always think that we're better than we actually are, and the other guy is so much worse than they actually are, and so much worse than us. The sinner always thinks that they deserve the things of God because of who they are and what they've done. Jesus, to our astonishment, to the astonishment of the self-righteous, goes ahead and he heals this poor man with dropsy, and he does it on the Sabbath. He goes and does something that all those righteous Pharisees think is ridiculous and unwarranted and downright sinful. And he does so because man was not created for the Sabbath. Man was not created in order to make the Sabbath holy. The Sabbath is holy in and of itself. God, he sanctifies the Sabbath without any of our work or doing or merit. And he does so for our good and our benefit. God didn't establish the Sabbath so that we could show him just how righteous we are by keeping it and every other law as good as we can. He created the Sabbath because we can't keep the law. And we can't make things holy. We can't make anything holy, not least of which is ourselves. We need something outside of us to sanctify us. Something other than us to make us perfect. Someone holy to make us holy. We need the Sabbath. The Sabbath doesn't need us. And we need the Sabbath because the Sabbath is Jesus. For the Sabbath means rest. And who else is our rest except Jesus? It's his preaching And it's his teaching. It's his absolution, his forgiveness of sins. It's his baptismal flood. It's his holy supper. All of it is his, and it's for you. It's Jesus for you. Not because you are righteous enough to deserve it. Not because you're good and upright Pharisees who have become worthy enough to have Jesus come into your presence. No, Jesus comes here. He speaks his word to you. He dines with you precisely because of the fact that you are not worthy and you don't deserve it. You haven't earned Jesus. You aren't good enough. You aren't better than the man with dropsy or the tax collector or the prostitute or the drug user or the awful sinner out there. You are the sinner. You're just like them. They need Jesus just as much as you do. Jesus, he doesn't invite the righteous to his table. He doesn't invite the ones who've made themselves worthy and who are good enough. Instead, he only invites the sinner to his table. And that's why you're here today. Not because you're worthy, but because you're unworthy. Not because you're sinless, but because you need your sins forgiven. Not because you've earned it all, but because you haven't earned a single thing and you need everything to be given to you. Jesus, he only dines with sinners. That's why he dines with you. And the humility that he speaks of in our text is his humility that he took upon himself to serve you. Remember that first Last Supper. He takes the form of a servant and he washes his disciples' feet. Not because they're better than him, but because that's the very thing that they need. The very thing you need to be served by God. So friend, he says to you, move up high to that seat of honor. Take that seat right here, right up at the front. In fact, just go ahead and take my seat. Let me wash your feet. Let me wait on you hand and foot. Let me cleanse you from all your filth and guilt. Let me heal you from everything that needs to be healed. Let me take upon myself all of your sin and all of your shame, all your guilt and all of your punishment. Don't stand outside. Come in here. Be seated at my table. Don't think that you have to serve me. I'll serve you. Don't think that this place isn't for you. It is. It is for you. Not because you deserve it, but because you need it. And I've established it for that very reason. I took upon myself your guilt and your sin and your shame. I went to the cross, and here I give that cross to you. My righteousness is your righteousness. My perfection is your perfection. My holiness is your holiness. So come to this table so that I may dine with you, so that I may heal you, so that I may forgive you, so that I may give myself to you. Come right up here to the very head of the table, the most important place, because there's nothing more important in the world than for me to serve you. That's the reason I'm here. It's the only reason I'm here. That's why you're here. You're not here for me. I'm here for you. So what about that last part in our text? That part where Jesus talks about being repaid at the resurrection of the just. Does he mean to say that if we finally go about our lives in the right sort of way, then we'll be rewarded even more at the end? That if we invite the poor instead of the rich to dinner, then we'll get an extra jewel in our crown on the last day? Maybe. I don't know. But at that point, does it even matter? We're all going to hang up our hats at the door when we enter the eternal wedding feast anyways. No one's going to notice which crown has more glitter than the others. No, I don't think Jesus is talking about us, unless he's referring to us as being the ones who are invited, the ones who couldn't repay. But then that, of course, would mean that Jesus is the one doing the inviting, which means that he's going to be the one repaid at the resurrection of the just. And you know what? His repayment will be seeing you and me and all of us sinners without a penny in our pocket sitting at the place of honor, the best and most important place at the best banquet ever thrown. Imagine the most valuable thing at the resurrection will be all of us poor slobs who couldn't pay for a seat at the table, now dining with the Lamb who paid for our ticket with his priceless blood poured out from the cross. And then, would you look at that? Even this part is about Jesus. Him for you. In the name of Jesus.